Thank you very much, Volker. Yes, I'm afraid John couldn't be with us this time. Probably, I think, for the first time ever at a Sambor XP conference. So I am virtual John. I'm not very Australian, but no. That's why I'm not wearing the hat. But I do promise to keep my remarks much, much briefer than John ever did. So I hope to finish on time in about 10:15 so that we can start the first talk on time. So firstly, I want to thank CERNET for running the conference. We're 14 years old. We're well into our teen years, which is absolutely amazing for us to continue. So thank you so much, CERNET, for running and arranging the conference so well. And also, thank you to our sponsors, without which the conference wouldn't be put on, because it's an expensive thing to do to rent the hotel, run everything, pay for the speakers, hotel rooms, etc. So thank you very much to all the... vendors listed there, including Microsoft for many years now, which is absolutely wonderful. Great to see Microsoft here. Don't worry, Ash will say something nasty later. Yes, thank you very much for the sponsorship and helping us to run the conference. So I think Volker touched on it. Where I was going to do a little sort of where is Sambor and what are our current plans, where are we going. Things are actually looking up. One of the interesting things is, as you may or may not have noticed, if you're living under a rock, you've missed it, the world is rushing headlong into cloud for absolutely everything and anything, even things that don't really fit there. Probably Sambor. But the world is rushing headlong into it, and we're actually adapting. For a while, I was a little worried about how we were going to cope. But I actually think we're coping quite well with this world. One of the fantastic things recently announced was, of course, Amazon Web Services running the Active Directory code in the cloud. And that has really spurred a great deal of interest. And Andrew and Metz and the other Active Directory developers are doing a fantastic job bringing that code up, collaborating with Microsoft, working on security issues. And so that's an ideal adaptation of Sambor into the cloud-enabled world. The other thing that has been I'm very happy about is we have a very vibrant OEM community, many who are using Sambor as a gateway into cloud storage. There are actually a lot of proprietary solutions that you can go out there and buy. They don't necessarily say they're based on top of Sambor, but they're actually using Sambor internally to provide SMB3 storage that gateways back into the cloud. Interestingly enough, I think it's about time we gave them some free software competition. So if you come to my talk tomorrow, I'm going to be talking about some plans that I have as to how we can put a free software cloud gateway module into Sambor and hopefully help the proprietary vendors sort of raise their game. So we'll have a basic layer of services that you can get for free, and the proprietary vendors will have to provide added value on top of that. We haven't coded that up yet, but I think it's something that we can quite reasonably do in the next year or so. Come to my talk if you want to hear about that. The other thing that has been very, very interesting is the amount of competition, which used to get me, in my younger, less secure days, used to get me very annoyed. There's the number of competitors that would spring up against Sambor. And these days, I'm a lot more laid back, because I remember, let me give you a reason why. Back in the early 2000s, I worked for HP. And I had a conference call with a bunch of lawyers and some other free software projects, and everybody was frightened, essentially, of competition using software patents to destroy us. And afterwards, I remember I was talking to HP's open source lawyer, Scott Peterson, who now works with me at Google, and I said, yeah, I'm really worried that we might get sued. And he said, you idiot! You're not going to get sued. You don't have any money. HP's going to get sued. And he said, you should realize that people competing with you and noticing you enough to sue you is a sign of success. This is what you want. And anyone who follows HBO's Silicon Valley series will know that. And indeed, that's right. So all of the competitors that came up, likewise, now bought by EMC, HVNAS, now bought by NetApp, there's another one whose name I can't remember. These are a sign of success for Samba and the SMB protocol. The fact that it's such an interesting space that people think, hey, I can make money by competing against that free stuff. We must be better than that, right? And I believe Samsung are now talking about trying to do an Linux in kernel implementation of SMB, which, you know, I talked to them about and I thought, wow, that's a serious effort, until I heard them say, and of course we must do SMB 1 as well, in which case I thought, okay, well, you guys are never going to finish that. So good luck with that. And I believe that VLC also has a client implementation. So I'm more of the mindset these days of let a thousand flowers bloom and use this protocol wherever we can in many, many different ways. So one of the things that I would like to see, how many of you have a smart TV that has network? Yeah, they're becoming quite common now. How many people have noticed that you can't mount SMB shares on your smart TV? It's very annoying. Yes. David claims he can, but I don't know. He probably built his own TV. He's from Scotland after all. So it's very annoying that you can't access your local file server or any local SMB storage straight off the TV. You have to have some kind of set-top box, or you have to use a protocol which is unparalleled in its evilness, called DLNA. Anyone aware of this thing called Digital Living Room Network Alliance? Which is a horrible piece of work, let's just say, without using bad language, which actually expects this server to transcode the content for the play device. This is just dumb. Televisions these days are big Linux boxes running FFmpeg to do the rendering. They really ought to have SMB built into them. And in fact, if you look at the Internet of Things, many of the things that the Internet of Things are doing are transferring files around. And we do that. A lot of the Internet of Things are based on little Linux boxes. Steve and Jeff's client code is sat inside those boxes. All it needs is to be turned on. And so here's where I kick our good friends in Redmond and say, possibly one of the reasons that that's not happening is because of the patent saber rattling, and it would be a good thing if that stopped. So it would be very nice to expand the use of SMB3 and Samba and all of the other opportunities for all the other vendors, so that we can essentially expand out this protocol, which is incredibly flexible, incredibly rich, and does a great load of things. Let's see, what time is it? My smartwatch is dead. I have two more minutes. Okay, so I shall wrap up and then move on to Mark's talk. So the other thing, we have very, very good technology. I was reviewing a lot of the code that went in recently, and I've started to realize how good Samba and some of the underlying technology that's being created for Samba is. We have CTDB, we have TDB, we have Talloc, we have T-Event. Volker has been spending an immense amount of time cleaning up, removing code. Our code quality is getting better and better. We have the occasional security flaw, but they're getting less and less these days. And our software development practices are, I would say, best of class, and certainly a cut above most of the open source projects. So here's the disappointing thing. How many people in this room are under 30? Cool. There are some of you. there's only three of you, but you are here. So,
can you do under 31?
No, sorry. Sorry, Jose. So this is the disappointing thing to me. We're all getting older, just like the Linux kernel engineers. And We need to be evangelizing and enthusing new engineers to stop writing crappy web apps and or Android apps or iPhone apps or whatever, and to actually do some real engineering work. As I'm not speaking to anyone, or at least only three people under 30, I'm probably addressing the wrong crowd, but I could place, just by personal context, five engineers in pretty hot storage startups in Silicon Valley if these people knew SMB and Samba. Right now, Richard's entire business model appears to be the only portable engineer in Silicon Valley who goes from company to company. Thank you. You just have to ask. So there are a lot of opportunities for this technology for people who know how it works. I'm running out of time. So we really need to evangelize a little better. One of the a very disappointing thing recently was one of the Samba team members who was actually having to work on some proprietary code wanted to use one of our libraries. Turned out he found it so difficult to use, he ended up using a different open source library, which it really, really sucks. I'm not going to name any names here, but let's just say the team who wrote it, their attitude is compiler warnings are only advisory. So that gives you an idea of the quality of the damn thing. Our code is way, way better than that, and yet we don't make it terribly easy to use. So one of the things that I would like to challenge people working on Samba to do is to essentially create a Samba University, make the wiki, create more example code, and teach people how to use the pretty amazing infrastructure and code that we already have. Because, like I say, we're all getting old, and unless we can transfer this knowledge on, maybe we'll become COBOL programmers. Still valuable, especially in 2038. So with that, I will finish up. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming. And Mark, I was originally going to have the slot after the opening remarks, but I moved myself to tomorrow because I was actually much more interested in what Mark has to say about the survey and how people are using Samba in the enterprise. So thank you very much. I hope you all enjoy the conference, and welcome Mark, wherever he is.